dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, all you SVC fans, and welcome in once again to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. This is, in fact, show 205, and it's on our Season 7, all of which has been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, our billboard sponsor. Give them a call at 740-773-7529. Whatever your party needs might be in the way of a place to have it or some food to go along with it. Open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And they are located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe. Look them up on the web, www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. I am indeed Bruce Knox. Along with me tonight, two SVC know-it-alls about the sports world in SVC land. First one being a young Mr. Derek Webb, fresh off of the bus from Chicago for the weekend, I understand. Welcome in, Derek.
Thank you, Bruce. I didn't stay this time. I went there and I came back. It's crazy. So, no, I had a good visit over there with, I'm sure, SVC fans. I can remember Brock Netter. Yes. Went over there and kind of hung out with him a little bit. We went to Chicago and got our Christmas shopping done. So, so yes, fresh off a little bit of a mini vacation.
Well, we're glad that you decided to come back this time, just a weekend jaunt. And I always remember that Brock was the better looking of the sports staff when you two were there. That's all I remember about him. That's what I said one time. And then the other young man here being one Mr. Shane Combs of SVC Sports, SportsZone.com. How are you, Shane?
Oh, outstanding, Bruce. A few more days of school here and getting ready to go on break. And you have plenty of...
Not that you're counting or anything, right?
No.
I wouldn't do that.
I would not do that. But I know a lot of family, a lot of food, and a lot of basketball. It's a pretty good combination.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, I think, for Shane Combs anyway. Food, basketball, and family. Those three things rank high on your list, I'm sure. Last show of 2017, gentlemen. We're going to take a few weeks off after this, and we will be back with the release of episode 206 coming up on Monday, January the 8th. I'm going to put this question to you as we get into the agenda here. What headline or word best describes what you've been watching in the SVC basketball to this point, Mr. Derek?
You know, for me, I would say a top four.
Top four.
You know, top four. I'm not getting really creative tonight. I know, right?
That's pretty good.
But I think it's to the point. You know, when Shane and I had the boys basketball preview, we mentioned, Uniota, Zay Trace, Piketon, and Paint Valley. Mm-hmm. And other than a Southeastern kind of floating along the river here for, you know, with again, maybe an easier part of the schedule to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been that way. And Piketon, Uniota, I think, has now emerged, obviously, as maybe the favorite to win, the whole shebang, if you would, again. But I think they're still going to get those challenges down the road. Mm-hmm. From a Piketon, from a Zane Trace, maybe even a Paint Valley if Swingles on one night, and even Southeastern. I mean, they played Zane Trace tough the other night. So that would be mine with the boys. And with the girls, I'd say a two-horse race. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's Southeastern, Uniota, bar none. Mm-hmm. I've even had coaches from other teams tell me that, hey, look, you know, Southeastern, Uniota, they're in a league of their own. Okay. And then we've got everybody else down here. But Southeast Union, and they've said it's a two-horse race.
All right. Shane, what headline or word describes what you've been seeing?
Well, as I was listening to him, guys, I kind of went more on the word route here, and the word is experience. When I take a look at the standings. You know, if you start on the boys' side, obviously Uniota, led by their four seniors of the Swackhammer, Kennedy, Hill, and Fisher, and the way they go about approaching it. Piketon has a lot of supporting cast back. You know, Zane Trace, I know they're young, but again, very experienced. A lot of those, you know, six, seven, eight kids playing at the varsity level last year, and you see a big difference in their second year, where when you go down to the bottom half of the league, you know, especially with Westfall, Dena, Huntington, you're talking about one, maybe two kids on each of those rosters that's really experienced what it means to be a varsity basketball player. And if you know, it's probably something that a lot of the fans maybe don't understand, that the grind of becoming a varsity basketball player and going through it night in, night out on the practice, you know, the Friday, Saturday grind on the boys' side, going through a 22-game schedule, it's a tough grind. So, and then when I look over on the girls' side, it's a little bit of the same thing. Uniota Southeastern, a lot of experience there. Huntington Paint Valley, a lot of experience. You know, you have kids that have played two seasons of varsity basketball, and they're into that second or third season across the lineup, compared to Piketon and Westfall not having quite as many. Dean and Zane Trace having almost none. I think it just shows up. So I think if you look at experience and you go top to bottom in boys and girls standings, I think that word will certainly tell you a lot, because the last thing I'll say on that, guys, is it's really impressive what Uniota boys were able to do the other night with Piketon, because, you know, you get into these atmospheres and you think, well, what's experience? You still got to go play the game no matter what age you are. Those guys have been in so many environments and they've taken everybody's best shot. I mean, all week long, 2 weeks ago, you'd see the Zane Trace community gearing up for the Uniota week. Mm-hmm. You see the Piketon gearing up for the Uniota week, which they should, which is very exciting. But so many kids just struggle to settle into the first 2, 3, 4 minutes and shoot the basketball. Mm-hmm. Where you notice the other night, you know, Brandon Kennedy, he's just out having another night at the park. You know what I mean? Here, throw it to me, I'll shoot it. You know what I mean? It's just a real calm release. Boom, boom, boom. And before Piketon even settles in, you look up, it's like 25-13. So and then the rest of the night's kind of even. But again, it's that start. Same way 2 weeks ago, the way Zane Trace was able to play out in front in the maturity of Uniota, they were just calm and they stayed with the process and they went through and they played. They got good minutes. And then into the second half, they get control of the game and they win it. So I just think the experience, guys, if you really watch, is a big word that headlines things for us in basketball this year.
All righty. Well, we need to get into our main part of our agenda here, and we're going to do that with our Learn the Website segment. That segment, I guess it is, that we have had probably in the last three or four shows, Shane, a chance to kind of mention certain parts of the website, and that's going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Well, it is. It's Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Still not too late to give them a call. Let Kevin know that Shane and Derek and Bruce sent you from SVC Sports Talk. Let them know that you're from out of town down in the SVC area here and you want to get some membership packages or some different things set up for that golfer on your shopping list. And I know he'll talk to you and work with you on what can best fit you. So, again, give him a call, 740-986-4653. And yeah, Bruce, it's ironic that my answer there with experience kind of leads into this, because I've noticed that I have more and more new people asking about the site. You know, I think what's happened is you're getting more of the young kids from the junior high, the JV, the high school, getting involved and asking about the site. So I wanted to let them know, right up top on the website, you'll see four banners. There's a junior high scoreboard. There's win streaks. The all sports banners over the years. Our SVC signings, you can get all the schedules by clicking on the school and so forth. But I want to highlight one of those, of the SVC win streaks, because it kind of goes into something that Derek's been researching for us and has done a real nice job. And I'm going to give him a chance to talk about something that's really important here. We highlight, obviously, the Uniota streak, which is at 59 games now, Derek. Jeez. But one thing that you brought to my attention was on the girls' side. So I just wanted to give the fans, if they click on that win streak, it shows you all the different ones. Obviously, the Dena volleyball streak's nuts, and you have the boys' basketball, which even at 59 now is almost – equally, if not more impressive, in a sport the nature of basketball than even what they did in volleyball at Edina. You have Zane Trace softball, Uniota baseball, and so forth. But I want to highlight, Derek, the girls' basketball. Mm-hmm. It said that even though Paint Valley won those two back-to-back golds there in the 90s, that some research that SVC Sport Zone had done several years back, we found that Paint Valley for the longest time had been given credit for the longest streak, but actually Westfall won 38 straight games from 81 to 83. The streak was stopped by Huntington during the 82-83 season. So basically what happened, if I remember in my research correctly, is they won double-digit games there to end the 1 year. Then they won a gold basketball, and then they started the next year with a long run, and that added up to 38. So Derek had given me a call the other night. And I have to admit, Derek, and this is really poor on my behalf because you kind of take teams for granted, but lost in the Uniota streak on the boys' side, the Southeastern girls are really chasing some history of their own, and I guess that makes some of the upcoming matchups really special. But before we talk about that in terms of learning the website there, Derek, what can you share with us about the Southeastern girls in terms of what you've been following here this year?
Well, you know, like you said, we talk about the Uniota streak. If you remember how the Uniota streak started, Uniota lost its first SVC game, 3 or 4 years ago now, I believe in the 2013-14 season, to Zane Trace, and then they haven't lost since. Well, the same could be said of Southeastern's girls. They lost their first game to Westfall in the first conference game of 2015-16 season, and they haven't lost since. So they win 13 straight their first SEC title that year, for I believe the first time since like 85-86, and then come back with a gold ball, and now they're on a roll this year, haven't lost yet. So their streak now is up to, I believe, Shane, it's, 20, it'd be 31 now.
Wow. Well, and Bruce, I guess that immediately, when I start clicking on the Uniota or Southeastern schedules there, you can't help but peek ahead. I mean, again, you know Paint Valley has a talent of Lexi Woods. You know Huntington has a Braden Collins and so forth. But you can't help but peek ahead to that January 9th there, Uniota at Southeastern. And those head-to-head matchups, Southeastern can get that when you feel like they've really got a chance to post a number. And even on the other side of that, let's say Uniota can beat Southeastern this year and then avoid the upset. What if they would win a gold ball with everything Coach Miller has coming back the next couple of years? Where could that number reach? So, yeah, I know I'm getting way ahead of myself and we need to just focus on January 9th, but, you know, we sports nerds kind of look at that kind of stuff.
Well, that's what we do. Well, speaking of, let's talk a little bit about, just not that far in the future, really, the January 9th deal, the Uniota at Southeastern girls. What will be the keys to that game for each of those two teams?
Well, you make a good point, Bruce, because with us going on a little holiday break, time we come back, you know, probably should be previewing that. So that's well done on your part there. I think that for me, guys, it's the Southeastern's role players on offense in terms of their ball handling and their shooting. How are they able to handle the basketball and allow Skeens to move off the ball? Because what happens a lot of times with the athletes of Uniota, if Skeens is able to get away from the ball and use some of her athleticism to break away from the double teams, get some good screens. Southeastern has some good screen, re-screen action that they use for her, some really difficult actions, some diagonals, some back screens, some different things that are really hard to defend away from the ball. Well, what happens is, if Southeastern's role players can't handle the ball, then they aren't able to get into that stuff, and they're going to have to bring Ella to the point. Well, what happens when Ella comes to the point against a team like Uniota? Uniota's athleticism can guard them more in a conventional way. And what I mean by that, guys, is a lot of teams just simply don't have the size or the athleticism. They have to kind of come with your junk defenses. They're boxing one. Some people even go triangle and two and double team her, and that's still, you know, as you can see from her statistically, it doesn't work. But that's what I mean by not conventional. So Uniota, I think, will be able to run more athletes at her, and even though she's going to get hers, make her work for it. And it's really going to come down to can Heiss and Collins and Mitten and Morris and so forth kind of score the basketball and their opportunities within the offense. So that for me is the biggest thing. Obviously, the Unioto 3-point shooting on the other end's key, but for me, guys, it's that matchup with them that is what I'll really be looking forward to watching.
Derek, what about your keys to the game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, on Unioto's side, and Shane, I think, can probably validate this, you know, when you play a Southeastern Panthers team, your number one goal, if they put it on a board, they put it on a goal sheet that week, is stop Ella Skeens. I mean, that's just how it is. You stop Ella Skeens, you beat Southeastern. She's that good. And, you know, when we've seen her, Shane makes a good point about, with her movement off the ball. When we've seen in their stat sheets, when she has a poor night shooting, when you force her to really force shots, to put a hand in her face, I mean, double team or whatever you need to do to force a tough shot, when she shoots poorly, Southeastern has lost. Here's the thing. She's only shot poorly one time this year,
yeah.
You know, in a loss to North Adams. And so I believe she was 3 of 15 from the floor that night. Every other night, she's like 10 of 13, 11 of, 16. I mean, she doesn't miss much, and she creates her own shots. If you can limit that, you beat Southeastern. On the other side for Southeastern, she's kind of just got to trust the process. And I know everybody says that, but, I mean, Unioto has so many scores. They have so many weapons that can put the ball on the hoop. So if I'm Mike Adams, and thank goodness I'm not, because I can just watch a game and I don't have to, worry about it.
Right.
I think Rachel Collins and Skylar Heist, they've obviously got to kind of crash down on Josie Fisher and limit her production. Here's the problem, though. You also have to worry about the guard play. So Unioto can go inside out. They can play outside in. They can do a lot of different things. They can do a lot of different things well. But the key for Southeastern is allowing Ella to get into her game, get into a rhythm. And I think if that happens, we're going to be watching an instant classic.
Well, and Bruce, I think real quick on that too, the Unioto guards are really dynamic. So it really comes down to keeping them in front, because when they break you down off the dribble, two or three things happen, and they're all, and every one of them is bad for you. When they break you down off the dribble and get to the middle, now Fisher starts to get loose down on the baseline. She gets loose to the offensive glass. And then most importantly is they kick it to the shooters. And they can spread you with two, three, sometimes four different shooters that can really knock it down. I mean, this is a team that's had, six, seven, eight threes in a game. I really think it's a team that at some point this year will hit 9, 10, 11 threes in a game. I really do. They're that dynamic. So for Southeastern, the ability to contain the dribble and not force a second defender to have to step over is really going to be important to their ability to rebound the basketball and defend a three-point line.
Shane, as I sit there at the bench, I've heard your brother so many times yell, "There's the shooter." With Unioto, you can't say that, because there's the shooters.
Yeah, well, you could just start yelling that on every possession and you'd be cracked.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the league. Maybe you guys can just kind of summarize what you're seeing going on and what you think what everyone's going to have to do for the rest of the season.
Well, Derek, it kind of divides into twos, doesn't it? When you get your Unio to Southeastern, and then like Paint Valley, Huntington seem to have they mirror each other a little bit, and then Piketon, Westfall seem to mirror each other a little bit. Adina Zane Trace. Now, that's not to say that Piketon, Westfall, they're not capable of beating Paint Valley, Huntington, because they've played them tough. Or it's not to say that maybe Paint Valley, Huntington couldn't get Unioto and Southeastern in a dogfight, because again, they've Paint Valley played a very competitive first three quarters with Unioto the other night. But but I think the point is the twos, and here's one scheduling thing for you, Derek. I don't know if you've looked this far ahead. You know what's unfortunate for people like the two of us? All of the preview matchups are some of the best matchups, and they're going to happen on the same nights. So obviously we're going to go want to watch the Unio to Southeastern, but in doing so, both rounds, we're going to miss the Paint Valley Huntington matchups. We're going to miss the Piketon Westfall matchups. We're going to miss the Adina Zane Trace matchups. And those are some of the most competitive matchups. So in a year where girls basketball is really struggling to get a kind of a marquee matchup every time out, that was the one night where there's too many of them. It's a shame that the schedule didn't just spread out a little bit. So obviously that's just luck of the draw with the way they match up this year. But that was something, Derek, that I looked at as I starting to put my January schedule together. I was really disappointed that a lot of those matchups were on the same night.
Well, and I tell you what, I think I've got it written down right here in my notebook, and I had the exact same thing. I've got two to talk about. You know, kind of comparing those two teams. And again, you're right. I guess if you look at the league the way we look at it, from 3 through 8, anybody can beat anybody in a given night. I think each coach would tell you that. And I think, you know, I think Adine and Westfall continue to get better. I think Zane Trace is very young. But they're only going to continue to get better. So I think any of those three teams, you know, if they catch, a Paint Valley or a Pike on a bad night, if they catch a Westfall on a bad night, I think Zane Trace and Adina maybe can sneak a win in there. Like you said, we're not going to get to see it if it happens. and you're right. I think that kind of does suck with the schedule. Working where I work, they'd come with me with pitchforks if I wasn't at that game, or at the Southeastern Uniota game. But you're right. I would be very interested in seeing those other teams play.
Well, and here's the only place I might disagree with you a little bit, 3 through 8. Is when you get down toward the bottom of the league, I think Lexi Woods and Braden Collins are a little bit of the X factors.
Sure.
I think like an Avery Reuter's ability to pressure the ball. Grace Lytle's really becoming a premier scorer. I mean, the other day, if there's such a thing as a quiet 26 or whatever, it was. I mean, that's a compliment. You know what I mean? It's that she's getting it easy. Westfall's starting to spread their wealth a little bit more. So I guess for me, I see Lexi Woods is able to just score from all of those different areas I talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. She's really becoming a dynamic scorer, really, really has a chance to go down as arguably the best player in school history there at Paint Valley. Mm-hmm. Braden Collins the other day had 10 steals. And a really good friend of mine, Brett Carino. Derek, you know how Brett, we like to watch Brett coach.
Absolutely.
I think by the time she had her ninth or tenth steal, he basically just buried his head in his hands and just like, you know, why are we even throwing it in her area? You know what I mean? Like she, you know, they try to flare screen or, you know, fade a little bit or do that. And she just jump up and snatch it out of the air. And I mean, it was impressive. I mean, she had 20 of her 24 in the first half, but more importantly than even her scoring was, like I said, the 10 steals. And that doesn't even count probably another 4 or 5 deflections. So, you know, players like Woods and Collins are really dynamic and probably, in my opinion, separate Paint Valley and Huntington just a little bit from those other teams, although Pike and Westfall are very capable.
I tell you what, Shay, when's the last time you can think of a double-double and the second end of that, the back end of that double-double wasn't rebounds, it was steals?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. Well, another Huntington name, maybe like a Carlon Cox comes to mind a little bit. But yeah, you're right. That's I know Reuter, I think, had double-digit steals a couple games back in a non-league affair. But you're right. That's a pretty elite stat, sure.
And I'm most impressed with the fact that you're already looking, both of you, into what you're going to in January already. That's severe nerddom, I think. So you guys are sports nerds.
We prefer to call it prepared.
Be prepared, you Boy Scouts.
I don't know. I'm gonna use nerddom in a future article. That's nerddom. A great word.
You can use that. Anyway, guys, let's move on into the look at the inbox brought to us by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are your source for local school apparel for the SVC. And of course, they've also got fitness gear, sports accessories, your headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. And it's not too late to take care of that sports person on your Christmas list. Get up there at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. And of course, as always, let them know that we sent you and they can take care of everyone on your Christmas list. We're going to look at some of the emails that have come in. Shane, a lot of comments and so forth on the Little League that we talked about, several things there. That topic is kind of ongoing. Anything you want to kind of summarize about that? We have talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah, we have. And people that haven't listened can go back and listen to the last couple shows. And if you still have questions, you can ask. I don't want to spend too much time on it again, but I think I've tried to answer a lot of people through email or through text or some face-to-face conversations. The one thing that did jump out at me that I think is almost as telling as anything, on two or three different responses, the phrase of of coaches and schools don't really have anything to do with Little League anymore. It's really not something they need to be concerned of. It's not really affiliated with it or whatever. And I guess that is almost a, is just kind of a face slapper there. You know what I mean? It just shocks you, like, wow, that's this new generation of, you know, that's the problem. You see what I'm saying? Like that. And it's almost, it's not even a bad argument. It's just a matter of fact. It's the whole point that I've been making. If you get, if you went back 15, 20 years ago, the head coach, it was part of their contract. You know what I'm saying? So it's not only was a part of the school and a part of the program, it was in your contract. There was no choice. You were paid to do it. You know, there was no, that's been my whole point, is now it's gone all the way to the point where you have people that view it like this, and they're probably right. So it's unfortunate that, you know, I'm not a parent, so I probably can't relate to what a parent of an elite player wants to do, or a middle of the road player, or a player that's just kind of wanting to find something as an activity. And at the same time, the people making these comments, I've never been varsity coaches, or have never been maybe invested in trying to build a program. So that's why when I talk to a lot of high school coaches around the area, they're going to agree with me. And when I talk to a lot of people that aren't high school coaches, they're going to disagree with me. So, you know, it's just kind of what it is. But I thought that was the most telling thing of, I think that's just where we're at. And that's why I think it's going to be such a tricky dynamic to ever find a happy medium on again.
So the public, you feel like, is moving away from that expectation. Is that right? I mean,
yeah, I don't even know if it's moving. I just think that it's gone. Become such a culture that that's just what it is. So like when it comes time for your kid to be in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, they don't know any other way, because that's just kind of the way that's taken over now. Sure.
Okay. Interesting. How about, we've had a lot of comments on the Super Saturday. What do you think about all this since we just had one?
Well, I'd be interested to hear Derek's take. I know it's always a tough on the media, because you have all 16 varsity teams playing. You have 8 varsity games to cover, which I'm sure is difficult to do. You can only really be at one place to cover 2 of them. So I'll leave the media side maybe for Derek to respond to. But for me, I've always had a pretty kind of middle of the road stance. It's not my favorite, but again, it's only 2 times a year. I do think it's great for the girls game. Every year I go to these, the girls game's playing in some of the best atmospheres they've played in all year. So I do think that's a positive. I don't know that it's really going anywhere. I think administration loves it. It kind of cuts down on their schedule throughout the year. You know, I think I will say scheduling wise got a little bit better. I know a couple sites said that these are the starting times and they're not going to start early. I thought that was a nice gesture for people that didn't want to come to the all day. So I thought that was nice. But yeah, I've kind of always been middle of the road. That's kind of where I stand. Not my favorite. It's only a couple times. Great for the girls game. Scheduling is improved. I know the administration loves it. And that's just kind of what's always put me in the middle of the road on my opinion. But I would love to hear Derek's response, maybe from the media perspective, on some of the challenges it presents.
Put on that media hat and let us know here, Derek.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Here's the thing. You know, a lot of times on Saturdays during the winter, and really Saturdays all year long for somebody like me or you, Shane, when you don't just have the 8 varsity basketball games or the 16 teams playing, you have that. You also have, with me in my position, I have Chillicothe to worry about. Their boys and girls basketball team sometimes play on the same day. Then we got wrestling, then you got swimming. So this past Saturday, when that all-day event was going on, I had all 16 of those teams. And we do box scores, which I love doing box scores. I think it's a nice addition to our daily digest and our roundups. So I've got 6 or 8 box scores to go through. Then I've also got swimming. Almost every one of our wrestling teams this weekend were in action. So I got to go through those brackets, go through the swimming results. It took about 4 hours to just put all of that together, and that doesn't even count the other things I've got to edit and the other things I've got to write. When it does happen, it's like, oh my goodness. But as you said, Shane, it is only twice a year. It does also give us the opportunity we covered Adina in Paint Valley this past Saturday, and it gave us the opportunity to shoot with photos to shoot two games. And so we can get four teams that night exposure with photographs and kind of get to know a little bit about more of the teams you haven't seen. We try to pick we picked Adina and Paint Valley girls because we hadn't seen them as much. And then we hadn't seen Adina's boys as much. So you got three of your four teams that you're watching, that you're taking photographs of. And that's an advantage going later in the year, just or just reporting and or midweek shoot-arounds or whatever it may be. So, I mean, I think the logistics of it, in a writing sense and a time sense, are, you know, like I said, maybe sometimes a nightmare. But the on the other side of that, it could also pay off dividends in the future.
All right. Kind of mixed reviews, I guess, for Super Saturday. But we'll leave it right out there. Let's move on. Shane, you mentioned to me earlier that you had a great email about a key factor that's hurting girls basketball. I'll just let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, this topic goes back a year or two, and we had touched on it a little bit on the show, and I'm thinking maybe in January, if it continues to catch some more momentum, we'll give it a bigger segment on the show, and maybe try to talk to some of our elite female athletes around the league. Because, you know, you have some kids that, you know, do both, like, you know, your Ella Skeens and your Braden Collins. You have other kids like Cammie Chandler who separated away from basketball. You have Maddie Eberts and some of those other kids that have moved away from basketball and just went more the volleyball route. But it is the topic of volleyball, Derek. And a lot of people saying that they totally agree with me on the boys' side, but they think it's only half of the equation when I talk about Little League on the girls' side, because they said they think what's happening is now in the winter, club volleyball is becoming such a major thing, it gives them another option. You know, where their argument is on the boys' side, a wrestler and a basketball player is two different people, which I don't totally agree with, but I do agree with the concept that if you usually will start one or the other at a younger age, you know, down into the fifth or sixth grade now with the way they have those younger. I still argue at a small school that if you're losing two or three decent athletes to wrestling per grade, that's can be the difference between having a seventh, eighth, and ninth grade team each year in your programs. But I certainly understand what they're saying. Well, now club volleyball is giving girls another option in the winter. There for the longest time, other than being maybe a cheerleader, you didn't really have that. So the way soccer is growing in the off season, the way volleyball has grown, and it really introduces this topic of why nationwide, this isn't SVC, why nationwide more ladies are preferring the game of volleyball over basketball. And there's a lot of different theories out there. I would love to interview some local kids on this and maybe have them on SVC Sports Talk, but there's a lot of theories. There's the difference between the physicality of basketball, the physical demand of basketball, of the running. It's a little bit of the uniforms. It's a little bit of the you know, the overall fashion part of it. There's some articles out there that have listed just some phenomenal things, and I won't go too much into detail tonight, because I think in order to go into it, guys, you're talking about a 15-20 minute segment. I really do. But I would like to get more feedback from fans, and I would love to get feedback from some of our elite athletes in our league, and kind of maybe do a piece on this. So I wanted to throw it out there and just see what kind of further feedback we get. But it's something that I've been researching over the last year or so, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, people know that I love the game of volleyball. I just watched the Final Four and then the final match, you know, watching Nebraska and Florida and Penn State and Stanford and so forth. It was great college volleyball. I love the sport. Love watching it at the high school level. But it's interesting on how high school and college, they talk about the numbers of basketball going down on the female side and the numbers of volleyball starting to take off. So just a really interesting topic. Didn't want to go too much more into it than that. Just wanted to throw some of those concepts out there, see what kind of feedback we get. But, Derek, that's something to really maybe pay attention to here when you're getting an opportunity, just, you know, on the side to talk to some of the female athletes that you talk to. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of get their feel on that, because I'm going to try to get some myself and maybe try to have them on the show here.
Sure.
Boy, that's a great tease, Shane, because you got me thinking on several key factors there that you mentioned. So I encourage you maybe to develop that a little bit more and revisit that in January when we get back. Because
did you want to go ahead and throw out the information there where people can get with us there if any of our ladies are listening around the SVC or coaches that maybe have a comment or a parent that has a comment on that?
Sure. They can email you at admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can also contact Shane on Facebook through two different profiles, and then you can get him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com, and then Derek, of course, at dw1509 on Twitter, and his lovely email address is drweb@chillicothegazette.com. So you can contact these guys and let them know what your thoughts are. You know, I'd rewind this a little bit and pick up those factors that Shane just dumped out there. And boy, each of those I think could probably get a good paragraph or so in thoughts real fast. I would like to hear that. I can't believe you mentioned wardrobe. But maybe that's a factor. I just never thought of that.
I'm just passing on my research there. But the more I think about some of those things, there are some interesting things, because you have your three sport athletes like your Pinkerton and your Skeens and your Collins, and then you have just your one, sometimes two sport athletes like Lexi Woods, and then Cammie Chandler played when she was younger and then didn't play, and just it's interesting to just you can go down a list of 20, 30 athletes across the league and do that, and it's just, it is kind of interesting to see some of the tendencies.
Well, we'll probably, I'll vote for bringing that back probably in January then when we get back. Hey, let's move on to the fast break, Shane. This brought to us, of course, by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Well, this is something that some people have been asking, and had one person kind of throw some topics at me, and I thought, well, okay, we'll do that. And I thought, what a better time to do it than right before the holiday break. This is kind of a look back to the Jeremy Ward segment. You'll remember it was our Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire segment. And this is going to be our fast break topic here, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, give them a call, 740-986-4653. Again, that's Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Great opportunity here for the holiday to get something. You could do it right over the phone. Even if you're listening to this later in the week and you need a last-minute gift for that golfer on your list, you can definitely do it. But again, for people, Bruce, that did not understand what our Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire was, is when Jeremy Ward was on the show. Jeremy's obviously one of our great officials here in Southeast Ohio. He would take questions from the fans each week about different rules or about different aspects of officiating in terms of, maybe it was game management or the rule book itself, or just different philosophies on how to call the game and so forth. And it was really an interesting segment for basketball fans. So this week on the fast break, we've had four questions that were designed just as kind of for lack of a better word, a tribute back to that segment that some of the fans missed. So this week, Bruce, if you're all right with it, we'll let Derek go first. I'll follow up. But this is our fast break with the Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire.
Fair or unfair, the best officials should only make the calls that influence the game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go unfair here. For me, the best officials make the right calls at any time during the game. There's that unwritten rule of, you shouldn't call a foul in the last minute of the game. Well, if it's a foul, it's a foul. So to me, if they're making the right calls, if they're calling, I've seen so many travels missed, so many double dribbles missed, and I understand it can be a fast-paced game. It can, you're watching one thing and another thing happens, but if they're making the right calls and they're consistent, which is a big word here, if they're consistent, whether bad or good, if they're consistent, I think that makes the best officials.
Guys, this is completely unfair. You call the rule book. It's not their job to take the whistle and decide how they think the game should be in the rule book. It's just their job to call the rule. That's such a gray area when you say it doesn't, impact the game. If a guy takes off dribbling up the court two-handed, with no one on him, that doesn't impact the game, but it's illegal. You know what I'm saying? You're not allowed to do it. So it's not about calling what you think influences the game. It's simply about just watching and calling the rule book.
What factors are making the jobs of coaches and officials more difficult?
Well, you know, I got one word, fans. Shane, I don't know how many times I sit during a game and I just hear, you know, whoever talk or you know, usually yell, and they have no idea what they're talking about. You know, it's usually the loudest people in the stands that are yelling, and you kind of like look at your, you know, the people around you that maybe know basketball or just maybe a little bit about basketball, and you're like, what are they talking about? You know, and it's crazy, Shane, because if you go to an NBA game, you're not going to see this that much. If you go to a college basketball game, you're not going to see this that much. At the high school level, for both coaches and officials, you know, high school basketball fans are just absolutely ruthless sometimes. And it doesn't matter the score. I mean, I've sit in the games where it's 69 to you know, 18, and I'm still hearing yelling at the officials from the winning team. And I'm like, you're up by 51. What are you complaining about? You know, so. And I think the officials know that, you know, they're used to it. And, you know, for coaches, they're used to it as well. So, I mean, for me, man, I sent out a tweet earlier this year that was just like, I'm at my first basketball game this year. And, hey, by the way, we've already got some complaints about the officials. So, you know, it never changed, but I guess it's part of basketball.
Well, I don't know what Derek's talking about, Bruce. The 20 years of coaching, all of my parents have always thought that I treat their kid just perfectly in terms of their playing time and everything. So I don't know what he's talking about. I would say the basketball standpoint, it's the poor ball handling. I think it's just making the game uglier than ever. It leads to more contact. It's not as smooth. That's actually, speaking to Jeremy Ward, that's something he brought to my attention from an officiating standpoint. When you have poor point guard play or poor guard play, the ball is loose more. Well, think about it. When the ball is loose more, there's 50-50 balls and there's more physicality and there's more, you know, just ugly contact and so forth. So, I think that has a lot to do with it. And then obviously it makes coaching stressful because you're sitting there thinking you'd rather try to run plays or run schemes or different things. And sometimes it's you're sitting there just racking your brain thinking, how am I going to get the ball past half court? So I think poor ball handling it would be a really good factor for the second question.
What rule is outdated and really needs to be removed or revised?
You know, for me, Shane, I look at a rule that there is no shot clock. And I know that maybe this goes into the fourth question, but I got another answer for that one. For me, I just look so much. I understand it's the game, and maybe this is just me being a fan. And I know, obviously, this would be a shot clock would make it harder on the referees and the officials even, I guess the coaches as well. But I just watch so much slow basketball, so this half-court stuff. And you know, if you get a lead, you can just kind of stall. And I don't like that. I want to see the action. I want to see, and I understand these coaches are coaching to win the game. I completely understand that. But as a fan, if I'm taking myself out of the media, as a fan, I want to see action, action, action. And, you know, a lot of times if somebody has maybe a 6-point lead, an 8-point lead with, you know, maybe under 3 minutes to go in the ball game, you see passing, 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 passing. Well, I want to see shooting. So, I mean, I think that maybe, I guess I'm not answering the question, be removed. But I think it maybe needs to be revised where we do have a shot clock in high school basketball.
Well, I've always been a big fan of the idea of the shot clock, so I agree there. But guys, in my answer here, I had down the 3-second rule. I think that, you know, not removed because there's a place for it, but I think we need to revise it in terms of understanding the purpose of the rule when put into the rule book. So I think we really need to look at the wording of it. You know, obviously when you're defending a Dylan Swingle, you know, I think on the girls game, I just had a chance to say hello to Kara Blanton now at Piketon the other day. Obviously a real good post player in our girls league for so many years. You know, those are the types of players that when they just park right in the middle of the paint and are trying to get position, the 3-second call is designed, you know, to not let the big just camp down there and do that. I don't know that it needs to be, you know, when the official's down on the baseline, he's thinking, man, I haven't blown my whistle here in 3 or 4 trips. Oh, wait a minute. There's that kid's heel in the lane. 1, 2, 3, and whistle. You know what I mean? 3 seconds, we're going the other way. I don't think that's what the purpose of the rule was. So I think in revising that rule, you could really help the flow of the game there by understanding the purpose of that rule.
What rule should be added to benefit officials as well as the entire game of basketball?
You know, maybe I'm not answering these questions. This is like, I feel like I'm interviewing somebody and I'm like, that's not what I asked you. But, you know, I think that it's already, one of these has already been added, Shane. I don't know if you've read the newest rule, if you would, but during the 2017-18 tournament, there's going to be a running clock when there's a 35-point differential in the second half. I cannot tell you how much of a blessing that is for guys like you and I. And honestly, for you know, a lot of high school players out there that maybe are on a bad team playing a good team during the tournament time, I think it diminishes embarrassment. It diminishes, you know, you're out there and it's just like, man, we really suck. You know, that's terrible. You don't want a kid to feel that way. So I really like that clock or that that rule. And I also think it speeds up, like when you have these games that are all day long on a Saturday and you got to cover five games. Well, it, you know, continues the pace of play as well. So I like that rule. I think they've already added that, you know, to answer the question.
Guys, this is something I felt really strong about for a long time, and it's the foul situation. I would love to see us go to fouls of bonus by quarter, and then I would love to see us go to six individual fouls. Now, as a result, you're thinking, Shane, you're crazy. Six fouls, it's already physical and it's already people killing each other. Well, that's just it. I think this would open it up for the officials to actually call fouls. I think what happens is when you get physical games, officials get scared to death to put teams in the bonus by the end of the first quarter because they're going to be the officials that end up having like 70 free throws shot that night. I think if you would go to a quarter bonus, okay, follow me on this, a quarter bonus where once you get to five, you're shooting a 1-1. Double bonus. The double bonus is the dumbest thing ever invented in basketball. I mean, you're rewarding bad free throw shooting. So you go to quarter bonus, and at five you shoot. Well, then you wipe the fouls clean in the second quarter. You also give the individual six fouls. So now all of a sudden, if official really wants to get control of the game, guess what they can do in the first couple trips down the floor if they feel like an opponent is playing a little bit dirty or a little bit too physical in the post. So they can clean it up eventually. One foul, two fouls. Now, you haven't just taken that kid out of the game, but you sent a message of, hey, I'm going to call fouls. So, you know, even if you get some teams in the bonus with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, you can still call fouls because you know as an official that the bonus is going to go back to zero in the second quarter. And I really think that would help officials call the game, and I think it would clean up a lot of the contact, and it would allow basketball skill to like play again, and we'd actually see some offense being played with a little bit of continuity.
And that is our fast break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. For every golf lover on your Christmas list, they have a solution. Wow. I'm glad that's called the fast break, because we could talk on every one of those questions for quite a while. As we were talking about the first question, all I could think of was yesterday, the Pittsburgh-New England football game, how it ended. Yep. And Shane said, you just have to call the rule book. They called the rule book, and man, it is coming down on them.
Well, but don't you agree on that?
Yeah.
The call was made correctly. It's a dumb rule.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the point, is sometimes is we got to write better rules.
Yeah.
Well, guys, as a Bengals fan, I hate that. That's a lie. I feel nothing. But, I mean, you know.
I saw that tweet yesterday, just exactly that.
See that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Someone said, I really feel, as a Bengals fan, I really feel for the Steelers. Oh, no, I don't feel anything. Yeah, and then Shane, I thought you sounded like an old man when you were talking about poor ball handling there. Just need to get a better ball handling. You're just like it was when you were on the point guard position. So. And well, I concluded that Derek is a politician because he doesn't answer questions and he's self-centered on the last thing. When,
but hey, whatever, make my job easier.
That's right. It's what's important, isn't it, Derek? I really wish Jeremy was here, because I think his answers would be even, well, I don't know now that he's reffing and so forth, I don't know that he could answer all those, but it'd still be interesting to see what he says as well.
Since he started wearing the tie every day to work, it's harder to get him on SBC Sports Talk. Yeah. We did get him to make the one appearance there at McDonald's on the 200 show.
Yeah, you have to talk to his people and so on and so forth. So, well, good stuff though, guys. That's all thought provoking. I thought of nothing else, and good question, Shane. Shane's the author of those questions, obviously. So, let's move into post game comments, again brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment. Call them at 740-477-9828. You can stop by at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, and you can find everything you need for that sports fan on your or the sports player rather on your Christmas list, including all kinds of sports equipment. They got the sports accessories, fitness gear, and don't forget, you can look good in your SVC local school apparel. They've got it all up at C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, the phone number, 740-477-9828. Well, this is our last show of the year, and with so many different shows out there, they always round it up with, awards and so on and so forth. What is it, Shane? We have our Sport Zony Awards. Sport Zony Awards. But we will bestow those upon the recipients at the end of 2018, the spring shows. But we kind of do want to think back a little bit about 2017. And I wondered, give each of you guys an opportunity here to give maybe a few favorite thoughts on maybe a game that stuck out, a performance by some particular athlete or some particular event. Shane, we'll maybe give you two or three to go at, and then Derek will go to you.
I think for me, guys, if I'm going to take all of those thoughts, games, performance, events, maybe I'll put it into a theme of the small school. And maybe this is a little bit biased on my side, but I was really intrigued by some of the small school success. I know, like, if I'm going to be selfish for a second, and I think back to, some things that I've tried to do in the baseball program, and we had some success back when I first started, we had a couple district appearances, and then we had to kind of start over. We went through some rebuilding, and then we had two district titles and made the regional a couple years. And then, we kind of had to start back over, and we're back in that process again. And sometimes what can happen to you is it can become a little bit overwhelming, and you have to trust that process, as I like to say. Well, I think this past year is a little bit motivating from the standpoint of what the small school was able to accomplish. So now as I turn fan, and I look at it, and I think of the Paint Valley track team. I think of the Southeastern football team. So what Coach Burke's been able to do there at Paint Valley, Coach Gallagher at Southeastern. If I look, Southeastern volleyball, what they've been on in this run the last couple years with Skeens and Goble and company, and what they've been able to do. Cammy Chandler is an athlete that comes to my mind, guys, because here's why. Again, that small school, when you say, three winning seasons and going to the district a couple times, district runner up and moving into the top half of the league, and her being such an elite player, that may not sound like that much to a bigger school over a 10-year period. But what people understand is Cammy led a Piketon volleyball to really places they've only been once or twice in like school history. So it's, you've heard me say before with like Chandler and Morris and the Conleys and so forth, what they've been able to do over the last 3-4 years has been really, really impressive to me. It's been something that's really earned my respect in terms of it had been so simple for a Cammy Chandler to pack up and leave and go somewhere else. And she didn't, she was their family is Piketon. She is Piketon. And, what she has done for that Piketon volleyball program, that's a really neat thing. So for me, guys, I think it's the theme of the small school. Adina volleyball, Adina baseball has always been successful. Paint Valley football's had their runs for certain. But what some of these small schools have been able to do in 2017 is really encouraging. And it's kind of fun to maybe look ahead to see how that trend's going to go. Because keep in mind, with some of these kids graduating, it's really hard for the small school to reload. And I think sometimes that's when a year or two later is when you really appreciate how special they were when they were there.
Derek, what are your favorite thoughts about 2017?
Well, you know, Bruce, I'm going to give you a performance, and I'm going to give you three games. Okay. I'm going to a little bit of a different route than Shane. For me, the performance strings over a game of three games. Shane, if you remember, right about this time last year, a little bit, I believe it was in January. It might have even been the end of December. But in the last year, this has happened. Last basketball season, when Pay Valley played Zane Trace Huntington in Southeastern, right when Dylan Swingle got his 1,000th point, he had a string of 41 points, 19 rebounds, 40 points, 15 rebounds, 39 points, and 15 rebounds. That was in back-to-back-to-back games. That was one of the best stretches I've ever seen from a high school basketball player, and probably, I think, if we look at his career in a whole, the best stretch he's ever had in his career, and he's had a lot of good games. I'd put that at my performance of game, Shane. If we look back at games, obviously Southeastern and Superville Catholic Central's football game, that 44-40 win for the Panthers. What a game that was. I think my lead that night was, do you believe in miracles? Because that's exactly what it was. It was a miracle. Not that Southeastern couldn't beat them, just how it happened. It comes to mind, Bruce, you will like this, Vinton County and Uniota's basketball game last year, the district final. Mm-hmm. Vinton County won 64-63.
Was that just not the last event you covered game before you left?
It was the last basketball event. I covered a couple of softball games here and there, but I mean, at that time I had already accepted the job in Illinois, and I knew, that I wouldn't be back. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I knew I was going away. I didn't know I'd be back. but that game, and then the other game, Shane, that comes to mind is absolutely that Southeastern Ironton triple overtime win for the Panthers, and I believe that was a district semifinal. So many good games, and that's what makes our job fun. So many great performances. I can't wait for that in 2018.
All right. Well, now that we've got the 2017 in the rearview mirror, what are you looking forward in 2018, Shane?
Well, I think there's a couple things. Obviously, some of the historic streaks and scoring records and different dynamics. You know, we're dealing with some really elite players in our basketball leagues, boys and girls, right now. So that's impressive. So I want to keep an eye on the scoring list. I want to keep an eye on some of these streaks. I think we're in for some great matchups the second half of the season. But then again, selfishly, I look forward to some spring coverage. I know last year, one thing we do on SVC Sports Talk that's really unmatched in the area is the way we're able to give some talk show feel and some media audio to the spring sports. And that's something I'm really excited to have Derek on here for, because I know Derek and I are both baseball nuts as well. We love the sport, and obviously I can talk about baseball. Softball is the one sport, because I've coached baseball for every year of my adult life. I've coached baseball at some level, so softball, I've always said, is kind of the sport that I've cheated a little bit in terms of actually studying it and watching it when I talk about it. So I think Derek's just going to add so much to our baseball, softball, track coverage on SVC Sports Talk. I'm really glad, Derek, because I thought the spring sports really got cheated last year, and that's something that I'm excited to kind of do. So certainly plenty in the second half of basketball that's going to keep our attention. But it's hard not to peek ahead a little bit to spring there as well, and know that we're going to have 7, 8, 9 shows there as well.
Derek, what are you looking forward to?
I tell you what, it's right along those same lines. With basketball, I'm looking forward to that at Southeastern Uniota race kind of going forward. The Uniota Zane Trace Piketon Pay Valley type of feel in the boys. And then, as Shane said, in the spring, honestly, I think that's my favorite season. I just love going out, and I'm not terrible with the camera at baseball softball. At least I know a little bit about what I'm doing on a baseball field. So I get to take some pictures, and that's kind of cool for me. I'm just excited to be back in this area for spring seasons, because kind of like Shane said, I wasn't here last year, and I really missed that. I'm not really sure what went on last year, so it'll be a different feel for me, because it's kind of like I'm jumping into a pool after 2 years of being out now. So new faces, new players, things like that. They'll even be that much newer in the spring for me.
Well, Derek, is it fair? I know you're like me. You enjoy covering all sporting events. But like, if you take the media cap off, is it fair, the more I've gotten to know you, that baseball is probably your favorite sport, or is that not accurate?
No, that's absolutely accurate. You know, baseball, I played that in high school. My sister played softball in high school, so we could ride the bus together. And I can remember, if I didn't have a game, I was watching softball. If I had a game, you know, the softball players would come over and watch our game. So, I don't know. I just fell in love with that sport at a young age, and still a Reds fan, admittedly. but there's just, to me, and Shane, I don't know if you agree, but there's just nothing like the feeling of a ballpark. You know, you can go to NFL games, NBA games, but if you go to an MLB stadium and just sit there and just take in the day, the crowd, the game, I mean, there's a reason why it's a national pastime, right? And you know, I think I fell in love with that sport, like I said, when I was younger, and that's kind of carried over to the coverage in the spring, you know, to where I'm working now and as a career.
Well, and Bruce, what's so neat about that is when you get late into the basketball, one of the best times of the sports year for me is when March Madness kind of marries baseball together. You know what I mean? You get all your tournament, in high school and college, and you get your bracket going and all that. But then, you know, you're starting to read on the Reds, and even then you're optimistic as the Reds. Hey, Reds could be pretty good this year. You're getting into your high school baseball, and you're getting into some of your conditioning, and the pitchers and catchers starting to ramp up. And yeah, it's a fun time. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, we will look forward to it all together, and we're glad you're back, Derek, believe me. And on behalf of Shane and I, we're glad you're back, and I think all of Southeastern Ohio, specifically the Chillicothe, the SVC area, is glad you're back, and we hope you don't ever leave. We hope you don't ever leave.
Well, here's the thing. I can talk to Shane Combs again in interviews now.
That's right.
And that, I mean, hello. You know, I mean, there's nothing better.
Well, then he gets my boring answers. Like, I'll talk to him on here when he talks to me, and that's when he gets all the boring quotes.
Is he a lot like Bill Belichick? No.
He's absolutely, you know, more talkative, but he's got his coaching hat on there.
Yeah.
So I'll talk to him like, come on, Shane. I know that.
Well, guys, it's been a real good 2017, except for that time that Derek wasn't with us. We still had some fun, but I look forward to 2018 too. We're going to be, guys, Shane, probably up in the show, 230 or something like that by the end of the year. So
that'd be close, 220s maybe.
Yeah. It's been a fun deal all along, and I wish you both very Merry Christmases, and all to our listeners
absolutely.
As well.
Well, yeah, guys, I appreciate all that you do. And like you said, we'll be off for the holidays here a little bit, and we'll be back there Sunday, January 7th, Monday, January 8th time frame. We'll probably release the show Monday, January 8th, like we always do on the Monday night. Yeah, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. You guys, appreciate all you do. And to all of our listeners, the same. And for the final time here in 2017, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank all of our sponsors. So for Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette, for Bruce Knox at DBK Media Services, this is Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Remind you to keep visiting the website for all of your scoreboard and all of the stats on each night. And follow us on SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.